For WKU Public Radio, this is Dan Modlin. As we learned yesterday in the first segment of this two-part report, ovarian cancer is fatal to about 15,000 American women each year, and yet we hear relatively little about this potentially deadly form of cancer. The Mayo Clinic says ovarian cancer often goes undetected until it has spread within a woman's pelvis and abdomen, and at a late stage of detection, the disease can be very difficult to treat and is often fatal.
Here's some pictures of tumors, but I just want you guys to get a feel for what ovarian cancer is like.
To help increase public awareness of this situation, an ovarian cancer awareness seminar was recently held at the Episcopal Church in Bowling Green.
We all have our conception of what the ovary is, where it is, what it looks like, and what it does.
Sue Wilson was the chairperson who helped to coordinate the seminar.
Even though it's not as well known among women, and that's unfortunate because it is the deadliest of all of the gynecological cancers, the survival rate for ovarian cancer is very, very small, about 46% at best. And unfortunately, just more and more women are vulnerable to it, even young women, as our doctors pointed out, even as young as 14.
Dr. Michael Milam is a physician at the Norton Cancer Institute in Louisville. He says chemotherapy can be quite effective in treating ovarian cancer once it's diagnosed.
Chemotherapy is very effective for the treatment of ovarian cancer. The issue is that it can recur, and the problem for us is trying to find an agent that can help keep the cancer from coming back. So people can have a really advanced ovarian cancer respond very well to treatment, including the chemotherapy, such that we don't see it anywhere, but 2-3 years later down the road, it recurs. We don't have a handle on what we can do to move that time frame further away. By that I mean moving from 2 years to 4 or 5, or making sure it doesn't come back at all. And that's kind of an issue about tertiary prevention that we're trying to figure out, and that's where a lot of research has been focused on.
Dr. Daniel Metzinger is an oncologist at the University of Louisville and the Brown Cancer Center. He's worked extensively with ovarian cancer patients, and he points out that the disease can cause many different types of tumors.
There's a lot of other cancers that can also have different tissue types. For most organs have different cell lines, and cancers can develop from the different cell lines. The ovary has both surface tissue, and you can get cancer from that. There are stromal tissue, which is connective tissue, and you can get cancers of that. And there's also the germ cells. Those are the cell lines that have to do with the egg, and there you can have cancers from those different types. When we talk about regular ovarian cancer, we're usually talking about cancer that happens on the surface of the ovary.
And Dr. Metzinger agrees with Dr. Milam that chemotherapy can be quite effective in treating some ovarian cancer patients.
Fortunately, ovarian cancer is very sensitive to chemotherapy. That's what allows us to start with a patient with very, very advanced disease and large volume disease to be able to do surgery, remove that volume disease, and the rest of it we can try to mop up with the chemotherapy.
And Dr. Milam of the Norton Cancer Institute believes the success in the chemotherapy area is one reason to be optimistic that more effective forms of treating ovarian cancer could be developed.
I think if you look at the new agents that have come along and the other options, I think we've seen a lot of improvement. It's just hard to obviously individualize it because every patient is different, and what they bring, you have to kind of consider it. But I do think that as science gets further along, I do think there's a lot of opportunities, and the fact that this type of cancer does respond so well to chemotherapy gives us hope for the future.
Dr. Michael Milam of the Norton Cancer Institute in Louisville. Elizabeth Jordan is program director of OAK, Ovarian Awareness of Kentucky. She says her mother is a good example.
She is a survivor, and she is one of our many little miracles. She was diagnosed in the spring of 2006. She went through the process, and the overall surgery itself can last, you know, up to about 9.5, 10 hours. And my mother, unfortunately, had to go through that process. So I've been there, I've been through that process with my family. She had her surgery down at the James Graham Brown Cancer Center and immediately started two different kinds of chemotherapy right after surgery. They gave her 6 to 8 months to live. And she had her surgery. She did 9 cycles of 2 different drugs. Her doctor wanted her to take about a month break, give her body a break, and she did. she was doing really well. She was responding beautifully to the chemo. She responded beautifully to the surgery. We're very lucky, very lucky.
Dr. Metzinger agrees there have been some encouraging signs in terms of prolonging the lives of some ovarian cancer patients. He talks about one of his patients who recently passed away. He refers to her as Nancy.
That's why I brought Nancy up, because she lived over a decade with her disease and started out with very advanced stage disease. And we were able to suppress the disease until she lived into her late 70s. She ultimately did die of her disease, but she had a decade of relatively good health and a lot of good life experiences. Early on in her disease, we did some experimental treatments, and we're still waiting on that data to see how much that has actually helped folks in that particular study. But a lot of it was just some of the conventional treatments that we use that we know that work, and it delayed that disease for over a decade.
Experts in the field seem to agree on one key point. Early detection is difficult but needed. At the seminar, Dr. Metzinger stressed that the anatomy of the female pelvis does have an impact on the detection problem.
Where the ovary sits, which is deep in the pelvis, has a lot of room and a lot of space. The female pelvis is like a bowl, and you can hide a rather large tumor in the pelvis and have absolutely no idea that it's there.
As we've seen in this two-part series, ovarian cancer is a very deadly form of the disease that can be difficult to detect and treat. Support groups and more information can be found through organizations like OAK, Ovarian Awareness Kentucky, and through some church organizations like the Episcopal Church in Bowling Green. Sue Wilson believes women living in remote areas of the region must seek the medical treatment they need.
Some of us still live in more remote rural areas where there's not ready access to good gynecological oncologists. And so those are factors that we want to get out to the public.
And Elizabeth Jordan says support groups are available to ovarian cancer patients and their families.
Looking back, if I knew then what I know now, it would have made, from a daughter's perspective and from a caregiver's perspective, going through this with my mother and my family, it would have made the transition so much simpler. It would not have been as painful. It was very painful. It would not have stung nearly as badly as it did. If I had the information that I have now, if I had those connections and those relationships with these other women that I have now, you know, they've just been very, very supportive, and we're just like a little family over here.
Jordan says several ovarian cancer survivors participate regularly in those support group meetings. If you'd like more information about those support group meetings or just about ovarian cancer in general, you can go online to oakky.org. That's oakky.org. This has been a special report of the Public Radio Service of Western Kentucky University. For WKU Public Radio, I'm Dan Modlin.